What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath. It is Friday, collector conversation. We are talking about college cards. Yes, I got my man Brooks, LSU Tiger Collector 65. We are exploring college cards, why he collects LSU. We talk about Bowman U, all the things. I think this is a really fun conversation. It's really cool to dig into topics that there are pre-existing narratives about and debunk a lot of those things. Brooks is passionate and he's got an awesome collection and we talk about it. If you like what I'm doing over here, follow, subscribe, join the Patreon group. I am putting out exclusive content all the time. It's your best way to show your support for this damn program and tell a friend while you're at it. Without further ado, let's kick into the conversation. All right. I'm excited about this conversation. We're going to be talking about collecting college cards, which they've told us for so long we shouldn't be doing this, but it just feels like based on everything I'm seeing, there's more and more people doing it. So today we're going to be unlocking new character. We're talking to Brooks. He goes by LSU Tiger Collector 65, and we probably let the cat out of the bag. He collects LSU Tigers. But without further ado, Brooks, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, man. It's been a long day. I just got back from a spring break trip with the family. So, but this is a nice transition, have the house to myself for a little bit. So excited to talk cards.
Yeah. So, hey, everybody, go follow Brooks because he's doing me a solid coming straight off of spring break, right onto the microphone to talk about cards. And the reason why I wanted to bring you on, because this topic was on my mind, but I don't know, like I was scrolling to your page and it's just like, your page is so dedicated and so focused around LSU that to me, you were the guy to dig into. And I feel like maybe that's where we should start is what's up with LSU? Like, obviously you're a fan. How did this connection happen? Maybe take us into that world of you and the LSU Tigers and your fandom.
Sure. So I didn't go there first and foremost. And when I run into LSU people, if I'm not in work clothes, I'm in an LSU baseball hat or an LSU slip on or a jersey of some sort. And first question is, did you go there? I say, no, it's like I'm being pre-screened, but I say, I have family there. So my, my dad, his family's all from Baton Rouge. He went there for undergrad and grad school, met my mom there when she was in grad school. So I was an early adopter of LSU. Ironically enough, my brother, my mom, and a lot of my family on her side all went to Arkansas. So there's a house divided, if you will. But I adopted LSU early on. And I've frankly been riding that roller coaster ever since. So
as a Notre Dame fan, there's something to talk about. And I guess that would be Brian Kelly. And I'm curious, like, what's your impression of Brian Kelly as a coach since he's taken over?
Yeah. It's been good. He kind of got our house in order. And I, you know, as we talked about offline a moment ago, we could probably spend a whole podcast talking about the Orgeron era, Les Miles. We still won two national titles with those guys here, but it's nice to have Kelly come in. You know, after we won in 19, I think Orgeron, you know, he got to the top of the mountain, and then 20 and 21 were pretty rough. And we needed a disciplinarian, somebody to come back in here and kind of right the ship. And he's done that. And when you're an LSU fan and when you coach at LSU, you know, the advantage is you always have the dirt and you can recruit guys just out of the state of Louisiana and you can field a top 10 team. And it took him a couple of years to realize that. But if you follow recruiting stuff like I do, he's finally figured it out. So I think we've got everything moving in the right direction.
So before we get into the cards, I got to ask you, it is like the combine, it is draft season, and LSU always has guys, right? I mean, I just scrolling through your page, it's fun because I was like, oh, I forgot this guy went to LSU. But maybe talk about some of these guys coming out. I know like Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. are like, I'm as a Colts fan who's like, give me all the weapons. Those are guys that I'm kind of looking at. But is there anybody just in going into the draft this season that you think is going to translate and be a pretty special pro?
Yeah, I mean, Malik Nabers, and ironically enough, when he broke out, it was originally, so it was 2022, it was supposed to be Kayshon Booty, and his whole story didn't work out, and you can go read about that. But Malik Nabers broke out last year, and then this year obviously took it to another level. So you put him in the slot, good luck stopping him. Now, he had Jaden Daniels throwing to him and running RPOs, and so I get it, it's a little bit different at the NFL level. but I don't think you can go wrong with him. And then with Brian Thomas, I mean, he, what, 17 touchdowns this past year? Came out, the first couple of years, a couple touchdowns, a couple hundred yards receiving, but you saw him run at the combine. He's 6'4", what, 210, and ran 4.33, 4.34. Have him run go routes, and good luck. I don't think the route tree is quite there yet, but if you got a guy who can air it out, I promise you he can go get it. And then Jaden Daniels, you know, I think his statistics kind of speak for themselves. Like to see him get down a little bit more. I think he'll learn that in the pros pretty quick if he does. And he took a lot of hits, but you see the speed, you see how far he can throw it. I mean, anybody would be lucky enough to have him. So we have weapons on offense. It's our defense that needs a little work, but we'll get there.
I love during the combine, I've been following Brian Thomas, and I loved his answer when he was asked, like, what are you good at? And his response was like his superpower. He was like, I can read any coverage. And that was like, to me, it was like such a great answer, because I don't care how fast you are. I don't care how strong you are. If you can't read coverages in the NFL, you're done. And to like, I never heard a like top prospect receiver respond to that. And I was like, if that's like your superpower, like everything else will kind of fall into place. So he's been like, I've been hitting the YouTube watching. I'm like, this guy looked nice in Colts blue. We'll see.
Well, it was funny, as a quick aside, when he ran his 40, you know, he's not fully built like Calvin Johnson, but just the height and weight somewhat similar. So I went back and watched Johnson's 40 from 07, and I forgot Calvin Johnson was 245, I think, and ran the same 40, about 30 pounds heavier. So not quite the same comparison, but you know, we're getting close. So, you know, shout out for who Calvin Johnson was at that point, but somebody will be lucky enough to grab him in the early to mid first round. So
no doubt. All right, well, jump in. You're collecting.
Yep.
So talk about maybe, there's so many different ways I think you can approach collecting college cards. And I just look at your page and just can think about, like, it to me, it was like, wow, there's so many different paths and avenues you can go down. I think maybe like talk about why you started and why you're so focused on LSU, and then maybe like how you approach collecting college cards.
Sure. So, I mean, obviously I've got the personal ties to LSU, and you know, I've been a fan for as long as I can remember. Funny enough, when I got back into collecting, I didn't start here. So, you know, how I got back in, it's a cliche. I mean, I'm 36 years old. I collected as a kid. You know, we had a local card shop, which is still by my house. So I moved back to where I grew up, and, you know, go in there, you know, 10 cent boxes, 25 cent boxes, mostly baseball, no football, no nothing else. Because Ken Griffey was my guy growing up out of any sport. So, you know, 2021, I think it was, I'm an avid Bill Simmons listener, and I think it was the first time he had Mike Giuseppe on from the Sports Card Nonsense Crew. And it's on his background. I'm doing work, whatever. And then he goes to break, comes back with Mike, and they're talking about sports cards. And I hadn't thought about sports cards in 20 years. I remember thinking, what? You know, I didn't know the COVID boom. I didn't know what was going on. I don't have Instagram, anything like that at this point. So I do a little bit deeper diving, go on YouTube, see what's out there, content, et cetera, pull out my old cards. Of course, it's all junk wax stuff. It's not worth much. Started going back to the local card shop. But what really got me back is I'm very fortunate. I live 15 minutes from the Dallas Card Show. So, you know, I know for a lot of people, it's a trip, it's a vacation. For me, it's a 15-minute car ride. And so in 2021, I started going back up there, got to figure out what was going on. It took a while. When I started, I was kind of a mile wide and an inch deep. I was just buying whatever I thought was cool. I wasn't ripping wax or anything like that, but just buying singles of players that I knew from any sport. And pretty quick, I got burned out on that because I had really no ties to these guys anymore. And then I shifted over into Ken Griffey Jr. for a while because I'd loved him as a kid. But I stopped watching baseball years ago, frankly. And so I kind of fell out of love with that. And, you know, 2019 for LSU was still fresh in my mind. Burrow was taken off. Chase, Jefferson. I mean, we had weapons everywhere. And so I said, well, I wonder if there are college cards. I didn't even know. And so I started doing some digging. And, of course, you know, Flawless, NT, Immaculate, the 2019 crew, 2020, they had everybody. Now, I pretty quickly realized I couldn't afford a lot of the higher end stuff, but it showed me that, hey, there were college products. Let's dig a little bit deeper, maybe find something a little more affordable. And so I really got back in to start doing value box digging at the Dallas Card Show. So relics, autos from 2000 to 2010, when I was really a fan, high school, college, you know, $2-3 autos of Dwayne Bowe, Jamarcus Russell, early Doucette, Craig Davis. I mean, I'm going way back here. Joseph Addai, you talked about offline. And I started scooping them up one after the other. And as I built my collection, I sold off a lot of my stuff that I didn't really care about anymore. I was able to level up a little bit. And so as you've seen on my Instagram page, I was able to enter into some Prism Golds, again, some of the higher end collegiate products, not so much of the top end players, you know, Burrow, Chase, Jefferson, those guys, they're kind of out of my price range. But the second tier guys, which is kind of how I collect in general, you know, Grant Delpit, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Terrace Marshall, I know some of these guys haven't worked out in the pros, Patrick Queen, guys like that. I realized I was able to afford some of the nicer higher end stuff of a lot of the second tier guys, especially more recent. And that kind of instructs my collecting overall. So, you know, I don't have any Instagram posts of this, but again, I've got triple shoes and five rows of autos and relics of my guys from, you know, the aughts and early 2010s. And then I've got lower end Prism Golds, one of ones, number to fives, et cetera, of a lot of the second tier LSU guys of today.
Can you talk about how much fun it is to collect those second tier guys, but get the best cards of those second tier guys? And that's like, I don't care what you collect. That is, to me, it's like a breakthrough that you can go, that happens in the hobby when you realize like, oh, I don't need this, the Joe Burrow in this set, because that's what I see all the time. But I can kind of take a few steps back and be like, oh, I can get the Patrick Queen, and it's the same card, just different player, but just as cool. Like, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, as I alluded to a moment ago, I was able to buy a few of the higher end LSU guys, but it was, you know, it wasn't really low numbered. It was cheaper stuff. And a lot of it was pro uniform to start, which I realized pretty quick. I don't care about their pro uniform stuff really. And so, you know, I really wanted to find a way. I wanted to carve out my lane. A lot of people have the Burrow, Chase, Jefferson low number. There's all kinds of inserts and parallels. You can spend all day talking about that. But I wanted to find something that was unique and rare. And really, you know, budget was part of it, but also what was available. As I started digging deeper on a lot of these second tier guys, you know, again, some of it was they didn't take off in the pros or haven't yet. So they were available and affordable. And some guys have taken off a little bit afterward. But a lot of it was I wanted to connect with the guys that I cared about and what are the best cards that I can get. And just by the process of elimination, I ended up with, these are my guys. This is kind of the level I feel comfortable at and without getting in trouble with my spouse. So I've been able to make it work at this level. And this is kind of my lane. I mean, there's other LSU collectors out there who have some incredible stuff. We're a tight-knit group, but passionate, who collect the higher end stuff. And so, you know, a lot of that, even if I wanted it, it's already been accounted for. But this was kind of one area that still had a lot of supply, and I was able to step in before and scoop up a lot of it. So
through your journey of collecting, I think it's an impression I get from just the hobby in general. I think it's getting better, and we're going to talk about that. But I feel like there's always been this narrative of like, why would you collect college cards? Don't collect college cards, since you are exclusively like dedicated to a, you know, college. Have you dealt with any of those like negative perceptions of collecting college cards? And if so, like, what do you do to like overcome it?
Yeah, I was really lucky because when I came back in, I was so uninformed about what hobby stereotypes were as it related to college cards. I didn't
Ignorance
really know.
Ignorance is bliss.
Right. I didn't know. And frankly, look, I mean, I guess on some level, I didn't care. Once I, you know, educated myself a little bit more and realized that for the longest time, you know, you had Prism draft picks, which came out and it would pop for a couple of months, and then Prism would come out and those college cards would fall off the cliff. And you had years of, you know, unlicensed product, because I think a lot of these manufacturers either, you know, went away or the licenses fell off in the early to mid 2010s. So until Bowman U came along, there really wasn't much out there. But again, I was so ignorant as to what the hobby thought of college cards. I didn't care. And if the value went down, that was all the more better for me, because it just meant it was more affordable and I could buy more stuff. So, you know, I didn't have any preconceived notions. I didn't have to fight against what the hobby thinks of college cards overall, although that sentiment has certainly shifted in the last couple of years. But I didn't really care, and I didn't know. And it's probably the best thing that happened to me, because if I did know that early on, I might have gone a different route and never found my way back to college cards to begin with.
So part of the reason of this is like the Wimby cards and the Caitlin Clark cards, but I posted something in our group today just about the – I did a looking card ladder of Bowman U, and I like filtered it by like $1,000 sales starting January 1 of this year to today. And I was just curious. I was like, it feels like college cards are getting more traction. There's like 354,000 college card sales Bowman U this year, which was like, I thought it was a lot, and especially because, like, you know, Wendy's in there and Caitlin Clark, but that was like stunning to me. And as I was looking at the players, it wasn't just Caitlin Clark and Wimby. It was a lot of different players, which indicates to me that like college cards are gaining traction and interest. And a lot of this is coming because of Bowman U being a newer product. Maybe as you're like an exclusive college card collector, Bowman University is relatively newer. Like, how has that product maybe impacted like your overall collecting, and like, what do you think about it?
Yeah, me personally, I mean, I love the product. As a fan, it's been nice because the guys that I would collect out of these products are really good. On the other hand, they're really good and they're really expensive now, and it's hard to afford some of this stuff anymore. So, you know, we're Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, those guys who are coming into the draft, I've kind of been priced out of it because the secret's out. You know, as a college collector and as someone, you know, whatever university you cheer for, it's almost, you feel somewhat possessive of the guys on your team that you like. It's like they're mine. No one else knows about them or cares. And, you know, to think otherwise is just, you know, it's there are guys. And then with card releases and you see these prices, and again, with me, particular LSU guys, their prices are skyrocketing. So, you know, obviously other people care about these players too. But, you know, overall, a bigger picture, the fact that these came out at an affordable price point. I mean, I think Bowman this year is what, a couple hundred bucks, give or take, which is what, 3 to 4x, 5x less than what Prism is. They're licensed, which is good. I mean, again, other than Prism draft picks, which came out after the draft the last few years, it was pretty barren out there for college products, except for the higher end stuff, NT, Immaculate, and Flawless. So it's affordable, it's licensed, and you can kind of grow with these players. You know, a lot of these guys have, you know, not just 1 year of college cards, but two, and in some cases, three. So you get in on the ground floor while they're in college, and then you have the advent of NIL, the transfer portal. College football is a 365-a-day-year sport, whereas the NFL kind of had that turf. I would argue college football is in the same territory now. So these guys are marketed and more. They're more visual. You now have a product that I think reflects that, and it's good quality. You know, again, up until now, except for the higher-end college stuff, the last few years, the quality for college has kind of been what it's been. And I think Topps and Fanatics had done a good job of investing in producing a high quality product at an affordable price point relatively. And again, a lot of these college guys are personalities now. Caitlin Clark, Caleb Williams, Shedeur Sanders, Angel Reese, shout out the LSU women. You know, a lot of these guys have, and women have personalities. And I think a lot of the college fans, we certainly understand and appreciate that. But as you can tell with these sales you've reviewed, their reach is extending beyond their hardcore fan bases. So I only think it's up from here.
You can't talk about college sports collecting or just sports in general today without talking about NIL. How do you think NIL has impacted? We don't need to get in like the college sports of it all, but just maybe on the collecting side and just like the interest. Like, do you think it's a good thing, a bad thing? Like, maybe share some perspective.
Yeah, I do. I think it's a good thing. I mean, you know, again, there's whole other podcasts and loop rabbit holes you can go down as far as NIL and whether people should be paid or they shouldn't. I think they should. I think it's a good thing for them. But with the advent of NIL, it allows these players an opportunity to become more visual and expand their brands. And again, for card collecting purposes specifically, having a licensed product certainly helps. The other, you know, thing too is, at least this summer, if you're a college football fan, NCAA football is coming back, thank goodness, after 11 or 12 year hiatus. So with NIL, it allows these athletes the opportunity to be marketed. And again, to have their brands put out there, again, one avenue being card collecting. And so, you know, I think it's been nothing but a good thing for them, and certainly for the collector, specifically college collector as well.
So if you think about, zoom out and just think about like the cards you've acquired in your collection, what products, maybe years, or what products in general stand out to you as like your favorite college product?
Yeah. So I would kind of almost break it down into eras. I mean, I think one of the questions you had asked before was, you know, picking out your favorite cards. And I just, as I was going through my stuff and trying to figure out how to do that, the best I could do was eras. And I think a lot of the brands and sets that I like reflect that. So if you're talking 2000 to 2010, when you had a lot of licensed stuff, Press Pass, which, you know, for some people may be you've forgotten about, or if you're a younger collector, you don't even know what that is. But Press Pass, game worn patches, chunky patch windows. I've got a couple here in my collection that I pulled out. I love that stuff. You know, cheaper end, Press Pass, Sage, Hit. I mean, these brands have, you know, long kind of slipped into the recesses of a lot of collectors' minds, if they were ever there to begin with. So that's 2000 to 2010. And a lot of those guys, again, didn't make it in the pros, but LSU had a lot of product during that time, as I figured out when I got back into collecting. The next level up, and it's not strictly a college product, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it because my page reflects it, you know, Prism Gold. You've talked about that parallel, so I won't spend a lot of time on that. But for me, Prism Gold, Color Match, it was almost too easy for me to fall in love with. And I mean, maybe we'll talk about that more here in a minute. And then as you move forward, certainly Bowman U. I've picked up a couple of low numbered Bowman U stuff that I pulled out, and it's on my page. And then also too, I like the higher end college stuff, Flawless, NT, Collegiate. Again, a lot of that I've been priced out of, but you know, certainly favorite products.
Yeah. So let's talk about the color match of it all with the gold prism. I think it's interesting that I can look through your page and I can see college cards, players in LSU jersey, and then I see a lot of gold prism of NFL players in their pro jerseys. Like, there's a card in particular I want to talk about, and I think it's one that you recently picked up. And, dude, this, like, the 2012 Patrick Peterson gold prism, he is, like, prime Patrick Peterson in the black Cardinals jersey, like, looks like he just picked someone off and he's running to the end zone. And the border, everyone can visualize the border of the 2012 gold, like prism gold. Like, it's almost like a tribute to like his LSU days. And something about that is just so damn cool. So, like, talk about that, because I feel like there's some intentionality with the way you collect your cards, and also tip of the cap to your team.
Yeah. So when I committed myself to just college collecting, when I started, it was, I'm just going to collect, you know, LSU players in their LSU uniform through strictly college products. And then, like a lot of us, probably you start to have a wandering eye. And I came across a lot of the Prism Golds of LSU players, especially ones that I could somewhat afford. And I just, to your point, the color match, the gold on gold, even if it was gold in their NFL uniforms, I kind of gave way. So I moved the goalposts a little bit further. And then I said, you know, it's fine to collect LSU uniform guys, a college uniform, but also if I can find first year Prism Gold cards of the guys that I collect and I can afford, I'm going to do it. And, you know, as I learned more about Prism Gold, the lineage, the legacy, 2012, and I started to figure out there were some LSU guys in there, it was kind of fish in a barrel for me. Peterson's been the hardest one to collect and acquire. I've picked up two at this point, you know, a little bit of a higher end, bit of a stretch for me, but I felt like it's worth it. But I just, the shine, the legacy of 2012. I mean, I think I posted this in our group the other day. I picked up another 2012 of an LSU player recently, Michael Brockers. I think he's still in the league, maybe not at this point. But my goal is to pick up a Prism Gold of each LSU player in that set. I've got a couple more to go. Dwayne Bowe is still out there. He's actually pretty pricey. There's a good following of his. Matt Flynn, who was replaced by Russell Wilson way back when, for those people who may remember, he's still out there. And then a couple of other lower end guys. So the 2012 for me is my favorite of the Prism Golds, shocker. I know some like 13, and I do too. I have a couple of those as well. But when I opened the doors to Prism Gold, I immediately went to 2012. And I just, you know, I'm in the majority in saying that's probably one of the favorite Prism Golds that they've had, and count me in on that.
So when you posted the Brockers card, I Wikipedia'd him to see if he was still playing, which is funny.
He was with the Lions last. I don't know if he's still
around. I mean, I think he's still around, which was a surprise. Right. And Matt Flynn, like, I remember them printing like Matt Flynn's Our Guy shirts in Seattle, and then the Russell Wilson happened, and the rest is history.
He made like $30 million off that 6-touchdown game against the Lions, whatever
year. Not bad.
Packers. And then Russell Wilson, kind of the rest is history, but he's in that product, so he counts. He's still somebody I need, but yeah.
So another card I want to talk about that I have up here on the screen right now is I think it's fun because you're an LSU collector, and I think there this card, I feel like it bring you've owned this card, and it brings like together people who might like LSU cards, people who might collect Black Finites, people who might be Texans fans. And like, there are so many people who collector bases who would want this card, and you have it. And it's the 2022 Derek Stingley Jr. Black Finite 1/1, which I saw this card and I was like, this is such a huge card for Derek Stingley. If not, I would say his best card. People would say Shield stuff. I would prefer this, but sure. I don't know. To me, that's the card that stood out of all your cards in terms of like what I like and cool. So maybe talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah. So I guess I was fibbing a little bit a moment ago when I, you know, moved the goalpost for Prism Golds and I said, that's where I'm going to stop. And then when I saw this come across on eBay a couple months ago now, I guess the price point was at a place where I had to stretch and I liquidated some stuff to afford it. But it was one of those, if I don't get it, I'm never going to see it again. And again, it doesn't fit neatly within my collecting box to that point. But to your point, it hit. He's finally starting to pick it up as an NFL player. He's been hurt a little bit. But, you know, 2019 LSU, if you're an LSU fan, if you're a fan of football in general at this point, that's a special team. And he was a true freshman, best corner in the country. He was an early enrollee. And when he came in, a lot of the LSU guys were saying he was locking down Chase and Jeff. I mean, he had it from the moment he was there. And then the last couple of years at LSU were rough for him. But I think this is his best card. I mean, again, the Shield, stuff like that, I don't collect Shield. So that's kind of outside of my collecting path here. But it was either do it or I'd probably regret it. And I did it. And so I don't know if I'm fully committed to the 1/1 path. Again, the pricing kind of puts me a little bit of a bind there. But, you know, it's my team. It was one of the best players on one of my favorite LSU teams. You make exceptions for everything. And I'm sure it won't be the last time for me. So.
What would you say your favorite card in your collection is right now?
I pulled out a few when you posted that to me earlier. It's one of a couple things. I mean, so one card I have, this is a Joe Burrow Immaculate RPA jersey number 9/10. And it's, I mean, again, it's a cool 3-color patch, nothing crazy as far as what's in it, but it was the first time in my collecting journey where I decided I wanted to level up and buy a nicer LSU card. This was early on when I had committed to collecting full time, and I'd been searching for something nice. A couple months into, you know, my collecting path here, and I said I want something nice. I didn't even know who it would be, and this popped up on eBay. You know, God, 2022, early 22, I think, and I just said I'm going to do it, and it was the biggest purchase I had made to date. So I felt a little bit of a different feeling. We've all been there, and everybody's price point is different when you commit to taking that next step. So certainly the connection, the player, the team, the jersey number, it's the aesthetics, it's a beautiful card, especially in person, but it marked a pivot point in my collecting journey. And for me, that's something that I'll always take with me because helped me level up into something new. And from there, you know, my collection's kind of taken off.
I love it. So many cool cards. Before I let you get out of here, I guess my question to you would be, what would you say to people who have been thinking about collecting college cards but just haven't yet? Maybe share some advice that you've got through your experience.
Yeah. The first thing I would say, it's okay to do it. You know, I know that the old stereotypes have been there. College values fall off a cliff when the pro uniform stuff comes out. And maybe look, there's always going to be that premium. I get it. I'm not here to tell you college cards will ever level up with what their pro uniforms are. But, you know, I would tell you, it's a great way to get in on the ground floor with a lot of these athletes. It's something tangible that can tie you to them while they're still in college, and your fandom can grow along with them. And again, as you've seen with Bowman U, these are high quality products that you can afford. And there's a lot of us out there who, you know, we enjoy college collecting. We enjoy being college fans. And up until the last couple of years, we haven't had a pathway to enjoy and engage with that. And so if you've been hesitant, you've been on the sidelines, the last couple of years, again, with Bowman, things have changed. And there's a lot of good, high quality cards that are out there for you that you can pick up. And you don't have to wait till they're in pro uniform to enjoy sharing in these guys' and ladies' successes as they start in college and move onward.
You can follow him at LSU Tiger Collector 65. Brooks, this was a ton of fun. Appreciate you sharing Your experience sharing your cards. We'll have to do this again. Thanks, man.
Absolutely, Brett. Thank you for the time. Appreciate it.
I love that conversation. So much passion, so much energy. Do you collect college cards? If you do, post them. I would love to see them. Until then, take care of yourself, take care of others around you. We'll be back. More Stacking Slabs on the other side.